Scottish Jimmy. What's up, Scottish Jimmy?
Yeah, I just watched the car there. My butcher was fantastic.
Are you in town from Scotland?
No, actually, I live over here. But I'm down in Boston just now. I drive a truck. I'm heading back up to York, Maine. I've seen a podcast before.
You excited for the Scotland in the Cup?
Yeah, I can do that. Okay, yeah, I can do that, definitely. Once I'll be sober, but I can do that.
Outstanding.
All right. What just happened?
This is Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Because I think the one part of that clip that you didn't leave in was where I said, I can't understand one word you're saying, Scottish Jimmy. They are here. It is a Scottish invasion all over Boston. Rich, Ken, and not Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. Instead, the great Christian Arcane.
Hey, over there. He showed me his Johnson when he came in. That was hot. Pressed it right up against that window.
He's the Hampton, everyone's attention.
The Street Fighter II champion of the Hampton Beach Casino Arcade. Is that what it is?
Weir's Beach Arcade.
Weir's Beach. That's fun spot. That's where the pros go.
That's where we go.
That's where
we throw down.
You know, I saw the King of Kong, that the movie about the dude who like set the record and I immediately, like that week, went up to Fun Spot. I had never heard of it until that movie, and I was like, dude, I'm going. And I remember I got $20 worth of quarters, and I'm like, this is going to be the greatest thing. When I was a kid, it used to be, you know, I didn't have money, and so like this, I got $20. I may have spent like $2 and I was done.
Really?
I was like, all right, well, this is fun, but
games are pretty old. Yeah, I've been going to Fun Spot since I was a kid, and those games were brand new though, so it is fun still going there. I bring my son there sometimes.
Oh, I mean, listen, for kids, they got to think it's probably unbelievably boring because they're used to, I mean, like they're just on their phone. They have the technology is a million times better than Q-Bert. That place is the best. 617-779-7937. And we are right now broadcasting from the Ford Clubhouse at Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and employee pricing for all. You pay what we pay. Ford, the official vehicle of Major League Baseball and that dirty water. And as I was saying, the Tartan Army, that is the Scottish soccer team fan base, they are all here. And just in the last 2 days, I mean, I think they all arrived like on Tuesday, because before that I hadn't seen anything in town. And now I saw, when I was walking my dog, I actually saw a guy in a kilt at 9:30 in the morning. There's videos everywhere that have gone viral. There's obviously the Dubliner yesterday. There were a ton of them, but the best video that I've seen so far is that there's somebody who was filming from their front porch across the street. There's an Airbnb in a neighborhood, and at 6:30 in the morning, there's a guy who came out with a bagpipe and just started waking up everybody in the house. Like, they are ready to go, the Tartan Army.
They're here, the kilts, and it's hot as hell. They cannot be built for this. I mean, I give them credit. They're here in full mass and still coming, I think, in waves. 40,000, did Kat tell us yesterday?
Yep, 40,000.
So I like their chances tomorrow, but this heat, that's got to be advantage Haiti, I got to say.
I don't even see any of the other fan bases in town.
I saw one guy in an English jersey, a kit. That's it.
It's literally just the Scottish people that I've seen. But then again, no one's really wearing the Norwegian stuff. Who else is here? Norway, France, Iraq.
They're all at Bentley.
Yep. Yeah, and I know that I've seen the people waiting outside the hotel for Mbappe. There's a ton of people that are out there.
Morocco's coming seasons. In.
And Morocco. But
Ghana.
But the Scottish people, they're banging on this window about like 10 minutes ago, demanding to come on the air. And I was like, we're not even on the air yet. Now, don't get me wrong. We're going to probably pull some on the air here in a few, I would think. I just want to play a game called What Are They Saying? Because I don't think there is a thicker accent in the world than a Scottish accent. But man, they are having a good time. All right, let's get to some sports that happened. Shall we, Stiz? Let's let it roll.
What just happened?
Sports happened.
Sports Happen is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you've got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. Well, we thought that the Giannis to the Celtics talk was all dead, gone, and over with. And then Bill Simmons just blew the whole thing up the other night. Let's hear it, Stiz.
I thought Boston was out of this. I know Boston was out of this. And I was wondering if they were playing possum or not. I think they were playing little possum. I think they ran on Giannis. So I'm not recanting what I said before, I don't really know the reasons for it. Maybe they felt like Miami's offer is an offer they could beat. Maybe they want to drive the price of Miami's offer up and they don't actually have interest in him. But as I said over and over again, Giannis is pushing for Miami or Boston. Those are the two locations, and really wants to end up in Boston because it would have the best chance to win a title. And I think Boston is not ruling out the idea. Is
okay, so and in- we agree that Bill Simmons is someone that when he has a story about the Celtics, the guy actually knows some people within the Celtics, correct?
Definitely.
Yes.
Yeah, this isn't somebody who's just speaking out of their butt. When Bill Simmons says it, because I'm obviously we've seen the 8 million documentaries that have been done about the Celtics and all the other Boston teams that Bill Simmons is involved in, but you got to kind of take a little stock into what he's saying. So as if that wasn't enough smoke, not much longer after that, Kevin O'Connor, another guy who started off in Boston or at least kind of cut his teeth here. I was trying to remember this, Christian. Who did he work for when he lived here? Because I remember we used to have him on all the time because he made the best NBA draft guide.
I think he was NBC Sports Boston or Comcast before that, I think. But maybe there was another print outlet that he worked for as well.
It could be, because he used to make it was like comprehensive, and he would go through like the top, you know, whatever, 100 prospects and have these charts and graphs. And it looked like basically he USA Today'd it for dumb people like me. Had like these color pie charts and everything. Like, oh, I like it. It's pretty. But Kevin O'Connor, though, has become one of the more respected people to cover the NBA. And he's also somewhat of an insider when it comes to the Boston Celtics. And after Bill Simmons, even he had this to say.
And I am here to add that I have heard Boston is shopping people around a lot right now, that Boston is making calls. Boston is open to trading anybody besides Jason Tatum. And that doesn't necessarily mean they land Giannis at the end of the day. But I do believe, based off of everything, all the conversations I've had, is that the Celtics are in on Giannis and that they are making a push on him. And that this seems to be currently a two-team race with Milwaukee to acquire Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Okay. So since then, just what, 5 hours ago?
Mm-hmm. This morning.
Yep. Sam Amick. Is it Amick or Amick? Amick from The Athletic. He came out with an article that seems to confirm everything you just heard. Basically, the Giannis Antetokounmpo trade market is heating up because June 23rd is the draft deadline. And while Miami, according to the article, remains the front runner, Boston is very much in the picture. So the Heat have the most concrete offer right now. And the way that The Athletic paints it is that Tyler Herro, a Khalil Ware, Jaquez Jr., a guard prospect, and up to 3 first-round picks. Dude, that's a huge package. I mean, 3 first-round picks with the rest of them, that's pretty big. Tyler Herro even unfollowed the Heat on Instagram this week. Oh, no, he didn't, which set off a wave of speculation. Despite all that, no deal has been done. So the holdup seems to be that the Bucks are quietly shopping the offer around to squeeze out better packages, and Boston, Minnesota, and Orlando are amongst the teams that Milwaukee's trying to get clarity from before making a final decision. Some of the teams are fairly frustrated because I guess the Bucks used the February deadline as like a fact-finding mission, and that pissed off a lot of them. But the Celtics angle is significant. So Giannis, according to the article, has known intrigue with Boston, and his concerns about how thin the Heat roster might be after a trade make the Celtics worth watching closely. You're right. I mean, it's Giannis goes down there, and I mean, it's Giannis. You would have what's his name?
Adebayo.
Yeah. And really, is that a team that you can win a championship with?
No. I mean, unless Pat Riley's got some magic left in that old silk hat, you know, he can spin some kind of trade. That doesn't seem like enough to me. And I think that's why Giannis is probably pushing Boston, right, Arcand? He's probably telling them, I would rather go to Boston and I will sign there if they are serious. And I'm sure, like you're saying, Rich, the Celtics are afraid to say we're serious because then it gets back to Jaylen Brown. And if it doesn't happen, he's pissed off all season.
Yep. Right. And Miami was not a good, they were like the 10 seed last year, right? Like they didn't make it out of the play-in round. So you're not talking about a particularly prestigious team at the moment. It makes sense for the Celtics to get involved on any level because, yeah, if they want Giannis, then you got to go for him. And even if you don't want Giannis, then you weaken whoever team in the Eastern Conference you trade for him. So, like, that makes sense. You don't have to worry about the Bucks really, because even if they trade for Jaylen Brown, it says in this article, they're probably just going to flip him for draft picks and prospects. So, you know, it's kind of a win-win for the Celtics. There's no reason for them not to be involved.
So, yeah, so that's the kind of deal. And to your point, Christian, yeah, they said if Antetokounmpo was to be willing to sign a 4-year, $275 million extension here, then, and they say that that's what the case would be. You know, Jaylen Brown, obviously the centerpiece going back to Milwaukee. And as you said, many people think that the Bucks would just flip Brown for younger players and more picks. Minnesota, by the way, also lurking in there. Mm-hmm. They've put together a package that they're trying to see whether they can make something work. But out of all of those, out of all those scenarios, if you're at least Giannis, I'm not thinking about the Bucks right now, but if you're at least Giannis, mm-hmm. this is the place you'd want to play, right?
I think so. I mean, he has said East Coast, right? So if he's limited there, maybe the Knicks. Maybe if the Knicks somehow blow this series, mm-hmm. he would be willing to be the piece if they would. But I, at this point, even if the Knicks choke,
you don't see them making a massive move like that, do
I
you?
I don't think so. I mean, I think they go, they keep.
If they choke, together. I could. If
really?
They choke, I could. Yeah.
Oh, maybe
that fan base getting that close to it and then not get that. I could see that.
That's actually a decent point. Yeah. People do drastic things when you lose drastically. I mean, when you lose in the most dramatic way you could. I mean, honestly, if they lose now.
Historic, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they would probably say nuke the team. You know, they would overreact. But yeah, I could. Now that you mention it, they probably could do that. But I also think that I'm looking at this trade package that Miami put together. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got 3 first round picks in there. And Miami's not, I mean, you're going to get a, you know, middle of the pack. And I mean, as you said, they were the 10 seed, right?
Yeah.
This last year.
Well, so bigger picture question with this. So now that the Knicks are looking like they're going to win the title, they are a good team, but they don't, unless you think Brunson's a top 5 player, which he was not voted like on the first team all pro. It seems like the way to win in the NBA is less the big one, the big two, maybe even the big three. And it's more depth.
Yeah.
So I wonder how Brad feels about that. Because if you go Giannis, which I'm for, because I think it'll force their hand, and he's the best big man out there. I don't know what your other best option is. However, maybe he looks at the Knicks and he's afraid to go to Supermax. This would tell you that they're, you know, the owner's willing to spend and that they're going to go on the two-star model. But I guess the Knicks sort of are that, but they're not really. I mean, do you think Brunson and Towns are really like a 1-2 punch that what are they like the fifth best, the sixth best duo in the league?
I'm telling you what's going to happen is I bet this year there's going to be a lot of GMs who are going to be doing what I'm sure a lot of GMs tried to do when Tom Brady was around. They're going to say, look what Jalen Brunson did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that you want this massive contract, but Jalen Brunson just won himself a championship. And you want to know why? Because he took less money to put a great team around.
Oh, do you think that's the conversation with Giannis, back channel?
Maybe.
Like Bill Chisholm's talking to Giannis on the couch. And
but,
like, hey.
But I think that's conversation that's going to be happening all around the NBA. Because I guarantee you other teams tried to do that when Tom Brady took less money.
Yeah.
And they're going to say, I know that you want to get yours, but you're already wealthy. Like a lot of these guys are going to be going for their second, third contract. It's like, but you're already wealthy. Mm-hmm. How about a championship? That's the one thing you don't have. How about glory? You get
Brady back and with Kelly Olynyk like they did on the on Long Island when they were trying to court people. Get Brady himself in person here on Brady Day to show up and be like, I took less. Giannis, you should do the same.
How did Olynyk and his dirty white T-shirt not seal the deal, man, for Kevin Durant? All right, 617-779-7937. We'll take your calls in just a moment. Also, we are not going anywhere. We'll be back in just 2 minutes, and we have to talk about some of this Craig Breslow news. As I said, it feels almost dangerous talking this way right here in Fenway Park.
Linda Pizzuti-Henry was just outside our window.
Yeah, right. Linda Pizzuti was right here like with Nora O'Donnell.
Yeah, with Nora O'Donnell. They had, what kind of event was going on
it
there?
It was like some sort of bridal shower or something.
There
like
were
that.
A lot of very well-dressed people in the concourse.
Yes.
I noticed that.
Yes.
I didn't know what
so
that was.
So be careful what you say, Rich.
Yes.
You could get ejected from this very studio.
I will not. I'm a radio rebel, baby. All right. Well, as I said, we're not going anywhere. 2 minutes. We'll be right back. Straight out of Low Cash. Anybody remember CB4, the Chris Rock rap
Love
parody
that
movie?
Hell yeah. Fear of a Black Hat. You seen that one?
Oh, yes.
Great one, too.
CB4, was that the one? Turn around and eat your big-ass biscuit. That was a decent movie. Or was it? I don't even remember if it was funny. I just remember seeing it in the theater. I thought it was pretty good, I
Charlie
guess.
Charlie Murphy's in it, right?
We're the Bagheads. Yeah. The Bagheads. Right, they had a bunch of different names. All right, that's a random movie reference for you. CB4. Yesterday it was Young Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
Today I've seen way too many movies in my life. It is Rich, Ken, Christian Arcand here today in studios right now at Fenway, where thank God there's AC because it's hot as hell. It's like sticky and humid and kind of nasty. And there's going to be apparently thousands of sticky, sweaty Scots here at Fenway Park over the next couple of nights.
And they tell you, the doctor tells you, in this type of weather, it's good to binge drink. I think that's a smart thing to do for your body.
And they will definitely be doing that. The Ford, we're in the Ford Clubhouse, Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and employee pricing for all. You pay what we pay. Ford, the official vehicle of Major League Baseball and that dirty water. Let's go to Adam online. To Adam, what's happening, my man?
Hey, Adam. How are you?
What's up, buddy?
What's going on, man?
Hey, great show. Appreciate you guys doing this. Quick question on the Celtics. Can you please explain why Jason Tatum is off limits when it comes to trading and why everybody wants to get rid of Jaylen Brown? I think it should be the other way around.
You know what, Adam? I'll start with the second half of your question, why everyone wants to get rid of a Jaylen Brown. I think there is, let's talk non-basketball reasons. I think people, a lot of people we talked to are just kind of over him. I think they're over the whole, hey, this was my favorite season despite Jason Tatum, you know, not playing most of the year. I think they're kind of sick of the way that he's picking fights with Stephen A. Smith. And it just seems like he's not acting in a way that somebody who should be a little bit humbled or just, you know, somebody who, if you care about what the fans think, don't act like it was such a great ending to a season because it was just awful and demoralizing and it sucked. So that's that part of it, why everyone wants to get away. I think there's a lot of emotions that are involved.
But if you, but you're not wrong about that. I think that is the reason. It's image. But is that the right way to choose who, one guy over another?
And that's a great question, because that's the other part of it, is that, you know, truly basketball-wise, it was pretty funny listening to Brad Stevens talk about, we need, you know, someone who, you know, is plays, you know, plays inside, someone who takes it to the rim. And that's Jaylen Brown. Like, Jaylen Brown is somebody who drives it to the hoop. You know, he's probably had a, better than anybody else on the team. I liked when Jaylen was on the court and Jason Tatum was not. The game seemed to slow down when Tatum returned. But I do believe that Tatum has better fundamental basketball skills. I think he's a more well-rounded player. I think that when
but it's
he's
slight, you would admit it's slight though. The on-court difference in ability, two-way ability, is very slight at this point.
I agree with that.
And in the clutch moments, I mean, one guy won Finals MVP, the other didn't. It really does, to your point, come down to an image.
Yep.
Which is, you know, it's not nothing, but it is fascinating that the guys making this much money and that are this important to your future, you have to choose an off-court reason for it.
It is funny because, I mean, I think also just we've all, because Tatum was known as the chosen one when they got him, we've just all accepted all these years that he's better. And you're right, like stats-wise, and basketball-wise, there isn't really that much of a difference. There really isn't. But a lot of people don't like Jaylen Brown just because of the stuff he says and the way he acts.
Well, there's a couple of big differences. Free throw shooting's a big difference, and that matters in close and late games when Jaylen Brown's not very good at that. Tatum does not turn the ball over, and he's also a better rebounder and I think a better passer. I think Tatum's much more well-rounded as a player than Jaylen Brown is, which isn't to say that Brown's not good. But I think Tatum just does more things. Like, he's just the more, he can guard different players. He can guard bigs. Like, I just feel like he's got more to offer than Jaylen Brown, as good as Jaylen Brown is.
He doesn't dribble the ball off his foot right. as much as Jaylen Brown.
Not nearly as much.
Who's a better leader? That's a tough one. Like, an
Jaylen Brown's
Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown's a better
leader. Jaylen Brown's a better leader.
Probably true.
Yeah.
And the team did over exceed my expectations by a mile this year, up until the postseason, mm-hmm. when, of course, they didn't. Now, maybe Brown blames Tatum for coming back altogether. I mean, it seemed awkward toward the end, but we've been having this conversation for 10 years. It's amazing. Like, here we are, 2026.
But now it's real. But
now it's
this
real.
Giannis stuff, this is real. It's like on your doorstep.
Yeah.
Like, there is actual real heat. And I know every offseason there's some sort of rumor about Jaylen Brown. But, and by the way, if I was Jaylen Brown, that would piss me off. I have to admit. Like, I mean, he has every reason. Yeah, thank you,
Brad Stevens.
Yep. He's very angry, sounds it. But he's got every reason to be a little annoyed with the Celtics. Because especially when you found out that story was apparently true, that during the season, there was talks with the Atlanta Hawks about him potentially being traded. And I would hate that. Like, if you're somebody like him and you played a season like you did where you were MVP caliber, and still your name continues to get mentioned in trades, I wouldn't be super happy with the organization as well.
No, I mean, and I think he's controlled himself to a point, but I would imagine he's more pissed off behind the scenes than even he's letting on, right? Because even in the Twitch stream, he said, I want to be here. I hope to be here the next 10 years if they'll have me.
Yeah.
It could have been worse. But do you think, I suspect he's kind of forcing his trade right now. That's why some of this stuff's picking up steam.
Well, what was great was that Stiz yesterday found that tweet that Jaylen Brown had put out right after the Bill Simmons news came out. And it's something having to do with rice, but it basically meant the grass is greener on the other side. What did he put?
The neighbors, it's funny, and I was just about to chime in with that. He tweets out yesterday, the neighbor's rice always smells better. So, I mean, he's clapping back literally at all this Giannis talk.
I'm not smelling my neighbor's rice. That's a really weird phrase.
You're in the wrong apartment building.
Yeah. Jaylen Brown's like in Japan right now, so maybe he heard people saying it or something.
Does
like
rice that. Even smell?
I've never smelled
no
rice.
No way, Christian. He is. That's directly to Giannis. Come on.
Maybe it is. I'm just saying. That's probably, you know, he's in a place.
He's
with,
trying to be clever.
I, you know what? That's another thing I can't stand about Jaylen Brown. And I love Jaylen Brown as a player. I've said it a million times. I think I wish they could keep him. I think he's great. But I hate the vagueness. I hate these like passive aggressive, like when he made that song called Just Do It and everyone's just like, oh, it's a shot at Nike. Oh, and then you listen to the lyrics, has nothing to do with Nike. It's like, dude, just like, how about you? You state your source. You state what you're trying to say. Don't be Mr. Vague. I can't stand that. And then even Tatum's gotten infected with that.
Yeah, he did the, what was it?
They all do that.
Denzel Washington.
Thing. And you're like, all right, man, just tell us what you're saying. Like, I'm pissed. Yeah, thank you, Brad Stevens. I'm pissed that my name is continuously in trade talks.
But they can't do that. He can't do that, right? Like, what would, the city would lose its mind, no?
I kind of respect it. You know, listen, the one thing you can say about Draymond Green is he says what's on his mind.
True.
I don't mind that. I actually like that. And he's actually built a huge following of people who want to put him on TV. Like, I think he's earned a little bit of respect in the league because of that. So it's so rare that somebody just says what they're thinking. And I hate the passive aggressiveness and the whole, and I hate it for our job, us sitting here and needling through, like, you know, social media. Who does he mean this? Does he mean that?
Well, Jaylen did put his house up for sale. That's aggressive.
Oh, shit. Okay, stop. That pisses me off. You know that pisses me off. Because that was so funny.
Somebody called Greg's show this morning about it. I love every call. Please call and tell us that Jaylen put his house up.
Because when that story first came out, there's people just like, I know something. I have an insider to put me off. Jaylen has a house for sale. And I'm like, dude, he's like been selling that house for years now. He lives somewhere else. He doesn't even live there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you say that this conversation, this argument's been going on for 10 years with Jaylen Brown, right?
Will he be traded? Yeah.
Who won the argument? It's been 10 years. We have a 10-year sample size. We have one championship. Should he have been traded for Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, all those people back in the day? James Harden, all those rumors that there were? Not Ben Simmons, because, my God. But, you know, like, we have 10 years to look at. One championship, a lot of playoff disappointments. Should they have traded him years ago?
No. I mean, but you would agree things are different now. This year, now, with Brown saying the things that he has said about his favorite season and just the state of the team currently.
But there were people on the other side. I was one of those people on the other side of that back, you know, early on when it was, oh, you can't trade Jaylen. We got shouted down a lot. Oh, you can't trade Jaylen Brown. You don't trade him for this guy. You don't trade him for anybody. You got to keep him together. It's been 10 years, and they won once. So
well, they won
who
once.
Was right or who was wrong?
You know how precious that title is in the current state of Boston sports?
Right.
I guess, yeah.
Is it eight or is it nine like straight different winners of the NBA championship? The Larry O'Brien has gone to eight different teams in 8 years.
It's hard
we didn't
to win.
Exactly get the big dynasty everyone was promising, though, I guess is the point.
Well, I mean, I guess, do you hate the Bruins for their one title? I mean,
no, but the Bruins since that title have not been, you know, like keeping them all together as long as you did probably didn't help you when it came to winning future ones. You know, they really stuck with that core a long time and that core never won anything else.
I just don't think it's fair to say they made the wrong choice in keeping them together because they only won one, if that's what you're saying. I mean, I do think now is the time to make a change, but they were proven right by keeping them together. I don't care who they beat on the way to the final. And if you think Dallas was no good, that's precious. Yeah. You win a title, you win Banner 18. That's awesome.
Yep. It is. But could another duo have won more than one, is the point.
We haven't seen it in 8 years. I mean, since Golden State. I mean, I thought Jokic was going to go on a run.
Yeah, I thought it seemed like it.
How many upsets did we have this year in the NBA alone? I mean, I
love it. I think the NBA has been so great over the past several years. I like the fact that there's no one team that is completely dominated. And I like that everyone's got to stay on their toes, like the Celtics.
Yeah.
You cannot rest on your laurels. You cannot think just because you won a championship, your team is going to be good enough for the next several years to do the same. Because teams adapt. Play style changes, and my God, you better stop getting off that three ball, because we saw what happened to the Spurs in the first half of that game. They couldn't miss. It was like, oh, they're the greatest team ever. And what happened? Cold, cold, cold.
and it killed them. And the ratings are as high as ever, right, for these
teams. They are.
So the league's not going to change.
No.
So you have to adapt every year now, at least every couple years. It's not going to work keeping a team together.
All right, 617-779-7937. We're getting some good calls. We'll talk about that. And the big Craig Breslow question. There is an insider who has a very strong opinion about Breslow not lasting much longer here with the Boston Red Sox. We'll get to that right after this. Oh, Jaylen Brown. Okay, he wants to be the man somewhere. Maybe that will be Portland or some sort of Siberia, but it looks like it could happen right now.
Now yesterday you guys balked at this, but you don't think other teams want to talk to Jalen before a trade? You don't think that's happening?
No.
Arcan, do you think that happens? So, like, if Jalen's going to get traded to Atlanta or New Orleans, do those teams get to speak to him before the trade is executed, the three-way deal?
No. I wouldn't think so.
No. It's just like, you're going here, man.
The agent's probably talking to all the teams anyway.
But you talk to Giannis, right? If you're the Celtics, you have a conversation with Giannis before he comes here.
You have a conversation with an Antetokounmpo, maybe.
Okay, well, one of his agents.
I don't know if you're talking to Giannis directly before he gets here.
You're not.
I think you're talking to his agent.
I think the agent knows exactly what Giannis wants, and he's talking to the team. I think that's it's completely different. By the way, you can give us a call, 617-779-7937. We're talking about the three reports that have come out just in the last, 24, 48 hours that Giannis watches back. And the Celtics, matter of fact, I have not checked Kalshi. Would you mind pulling that up? Because yesterday it rose from, I think, a 9% chance he'd go to the Celtics to like a 20% chance. And after this new article from The Athletic, where it sure does seem like the Celtics are...
38%.
Wow! Damn. Really? It jumped to 38%?
Holy smokes. Miami 42%, Boston 38%.
It's almost about to pass Miami?
Yep.
All right, man. I'm telling you, this feels real. Like, that now it feels real. When you got Bill Simmons and you got Kevin O'Connor and now The Athletic talking about it, this feels real. Let's go to Tony on line three. Tony, what's happening, buddy?
Uh-oh.
Tony.
Tony's out. Let's go to Kelly.
Kelly and Amherst. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Tony's a noob, but I got you covered. So listen, Arcan...
Yes.
Arcan, you mentioned Jaylen Brown only got us one title. If this was like 1999 or something, bro, that logic would be strong, but it doesn't work like that anymore. When Russell retired, he had 11. When Jordan retired, he had 6. What's his name? LeBron's going to retire with 4. It's a countdown, my friend. Nobody even repeats anymore. Celtics got there twice. They won once. I'm happy with it.
Okay.
I mean, well, that's a patient fan, too. I think Kelly's in the minority. However, he's not wrong. I mean, in the current parity NBA, you get one title in 8 years. That's pretty good.
But you can't have that attitude. Like, that's good for me. I'm done. You know, no, you should.
They all seem to have that attitude, don't they? Every single team that won a championship in the last 8 years was out in the first round this year, it seems like.
But you
Denver was out there all out.
But you should demand... putting a team on the court that could potentially win a championship every year. And I know that sometimes your team isn't in a situation where you can do that, but the Celtics absolutely are. They absolutely are a team that could make a move that puts them back in the conversation.
The Celtics Twitter account posted a weird tribute a couple hours ago.
Oh, really?
It's Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum. Tatum's got his arm around Brown, and it says the Jays' combined average in the 2024 finals, and then it has their stats, 43 points, 13 rebounds, 12 assists, which combined isn't really that good, but whatever. And everyone's saying, like, what's this? Like, what's this weird random tribute? Why are you looking back nostalgically on something with the Jay? And I guess right before they traded Marcus Smart, they had a similar tribute.
Ooh.
Whoa.
That's not good.
Although I can't confirm that.
Let's go to Tim on line two. Tim, what's happening?
Rich, Ken, Christian. Hey, yo. You guys have a great weekend, man. I want to just say I'm hoping that the Celtics keep Brown and Tatum. We just need a big guy, man. That's what we need, a big, and then we can go ahead. I think we're there to the playoffs. We're in maybe the championship. We got the team still. Just dish out some of the other guys, and we're good. One last thing, Rich.
Yeah.
I heard you bring up the CEO, what's his name? For the
Breslow. Breslow.
Okay, Breslow. There you go. All right, here we go. Breslow, low salary. Tracy, low salary. They're right where they want all their guys. No high pay guys. They just want their wallet looks sweet right now, and they're not doing nothing. They ain't going anywhere until the end of the year.
It's a great call, Tim. And we'll get to the Breslow stuff in a second. But as far as Jaylen Brown is concerned, I mean, that is interesting that they're posting that stuff on their Instagram right now, the two of them together. I'm not going to read as much into that as in that I can't remember a time where this much heat has just changed and swayed like people's opinion. The fact that Kalshi went from 9% 2 days ago for Giannis being a member of the Celtics to, what did you say, 38%?
Yep.
I mean, that says to me that some people know something.
But I think people... The Giannis buzz is so low. Maybe it's just among the people we talk to on the show, but why are people so down on Giannis? This is one of the best big men in the history of the NBA. He's a proven winner. You're looking for a big man. He's the best one out there. He wants to come here. He likes Joe Mazzulla. He changes you and puts you as the favorite, the clear-cut favorite in the East.
Clear-cut favorite in the East?
Yes, yes.
Better than the Knicks?
Tatum and Giannis as a 1-2 punch?
Yeah, but the Knicks are a complete team.
I will
team.
Agree, if healthy, asterisk. I would take that. Yes, you have to have some pieces around.
I think that'd be the favorites next year. The Seahawks won the Super Bowl. They're not the favorite next year. The Rams are. So I think that would, yeah, I think that would be the favorites.
I just have a feeling that they're going to end up. Okay, by the way, you were talking about, like, excuse me, how they're going to try to go get a big man, or he was, and just, you know, keep the two Jays together. And that is, there is talk about them trying to get a guy like Time Lord back here. And I know that Scalabrine was like, you know, listen, the medical staff can keep him healthy. And Robert Williams, man, when he plays great, he's everything that you need.
Are the Knicks shaking at yes. the prospect of Time Lord coming? They got Robert Williams back.
Yeah, nobody is scared of that team. Yeah, nobody is scared of that team. Right, and how much more of an upgrade is that?
Not much. Over Kata? I don't think it's much at all.
Man, how pissed off would Pat Riley be if you steal Giannis? Just that alone is worth getting him.
That would be kind of funny. Yeah. Let's go to Peter on line 3. Peter, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, the reason I was calling was it seems that there's a lot of pressure to try and do the Giannis trade. And I look at it this way. Brown showed through the course of the season that he, by himself, could lead a team to the playoffs. Maybe not win a championship, but lead it. I also believe that Tatum, on his own, could do the same. There's no reason the two of them can't do it together except for coaching.
Giannis led teams to the playoffs all the time.
They did, but Giannis, if you trade away Jalen and you brought Giannis to the team and mm-hmm. Tatum goes down, Giannis on his own is not going to lead that team.
And also,
about that?
And also Giannis's health is a big question. And the other
That's
thing,
true.
Now the one thing I will say about the trade that makes me want to lean towards possibly them doing it is that, you know, Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum, there's redundancy there. To me, that's if you were to bring in someone in a completely different position like Giannis, but it's such a gamble because we all know, despite what he's doing on all of his social media and the attitude problem, he is a great player.
Right.
Because you are giving up a great player to get another great player with an injury history.
And I granted, he's hurt now too, but who did you lose to in the first round? Embiid, who you had no answer for him. You had Jalen Brown covering Embiid in the post. I mean, what are we doing?
Yeah, let's go to Rob in Swampscott. What's up, Rob? How you doing, man?
Hello, Rob.
Guys, the reason why Giannis isn't going to work is because look how many games he played this year. What good is a big man who's awesome when he only plays 37 games out of 82?
He just didn't like Doc. He didn't want to play for
Doc. He shut it down.
He was partying too much, not showing up for the playoffs.
He was booing his own fans. Remember that?
Listen, if he doesn't want to play because he doesn't like his team, then that just speaks to his professionalism. I think
absolutely, Rob.
Waiting to happen.
Rob, I went on the other day and I had what? Was it 8 red flags? For Giannis?
Yeah, it might have been 10.
It might have been 10. Hell, it could have been 11. I don't know. I just kept going, but I just like, here's a red flag. Here's a red flag. Here's a red flag.
It's the NBA. Everybody's got a red flag. I mean, what do we...
Jalen Brunson doesn't have a red flag.
I mean, Tatum is as like clean cut as an image as you're going to find. And obviously now there's questions about his toughness. And everybody's...
Ted. Ted's the only one questioning his toughness.
I wouldn't say that. I mean...
Well, I mean, he did say that, you know, when Tatum said he would have played the next round.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of from Ted, that whole...
Oh, yeah. Oh, Ted definitely was.
Tony Romo.
But he wasn't alone. But I do think the coach is an interesting, like, if you're going to make drastic changes to the team and keep the coach, despite his failings in the playoffs only, I mean, I was praising him. He's the coach of the year. I get it. But that is, it's interesting that they're not considering that. That's not something they would.
Giannis loves Mazzulla. Yep. That's the other thing, too. And Giannis loves Tatum. Giannis does not like Jalen.
Mm.
Like, we know that. There's a history between
Jalen doesn't
two.
Like him either.
No, they do not like each other at all. So as far as Giannis, where he would want to go, he's right. This gives you a better chance to be a Celtic than to go to the Miami Heat on winning a championship. And you're playing with your buddy Jason Tatum, and you're playing with a weird-ass coach that you apparently are a fan of. So the Heat's there. Kalshi agrees. The numbers keep going up.
Would you be impressed with Bill Chisholm, the owner, if they swing this trade, just in the fact that it proves two Supermax guys he's willing to spend? It would be his first big swing at something. Because right now it looks like a team that went kind of cheap this year, traded away a lot of parts, and now, from what Terp was telling us, they look like they're going to run it back.
I won't give him any credit for that, because isn't the money essentially going to be equal if you were to keep Jaylen Brown around?
Well, I guess that's true.
So I'm not.
But I think you're in a win now mode. You're in a 2-year window more than a 4-year window.
I would give Brad Stevens credit, because I think that he obviously wants some sort of bold move, and I do like the fact that he sounds like he's upset, or he's pissed, as he likes to say.
Yeah.
And he's going to do something about it, because it's all words up to this point. If you just if you said what you said, Brad Stevens, and you don't do anything about it, then that's on you, man. Then you're full of crap. But I know Brad Stevens isn't. He's got a track record enough to show that he's going to back up what he says. And that's why another reason I think this actually might happen.
Take a swing. Roll the bones, as Rush would say.
I'm pissed. That's right. Thank you very much. And he's a Rush fan as well. 617-779-7937. Did you hear Rush played Moving Pictures in
the whole
entirety?
Album. I hope that is my show.
Yep.
I hope that's it.
Show 3, the entire thing. It might be the only album I'd want to hear in its entirety by Rush. All right. We'll take your calls and talk Craig Breslow right after this. Who requested the Misfits?
Your boy Jackson.
All right, Jackson.
Oh, yeah. He asked me for a punk song, and this is the first one I thought of.
Very nice. Good job, Jackson. I like this. It's tough to be in a bad mood when the Misfits are on. It is Rich Ken, Christian R. Ken, here today on 93.7 WEEI, 617-779-7937. We are broadcasting from Fenway Park at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and employee pricing for all. You pay what we pay, Ford. The official vehicle of Major League Baseball and that dirty water. And I'm going to let you inside on a little show behind the scenes. You know, just so I know that we have quality callers that we put on the air. I want to make sure the best callers are on there. I leave the task up to Jackson. Say, you know, do me a favor, just kind of like rate them on what you think, like a scale from 1 to 5. Like, you know, 1 is somebody who sounds like they're about to fall asleep and their window's down. Oh, and 5 is like literally the greatest. Five is Scottish Jack or Scottish James, who we had on yesterday.
Jimmy.
Scottish Jimmy, yes. I want to get his name correct. And what's awesome is that this is a task taken so seriously by Jackson, I am looking at someone who has a 3.7.
This feels very Zuckerberg-like. It's
so like, is that 1, 2, 3, or 5? This one is a 3.7. Let's go to Dave in Springfield. Dave, you have been pre-screened with a 3.7. Let's bring that sucker up to a 5, baby.
Hey, guys, thank you for taking my call. My question is, everyone's talking about replacing weapons, replacing the pieces that the Celtics need to be successful. What about Missoula?
That's a good question, Dave.
Or did it seem like he was asleep at the wheel during the last season?
That's a good question. I think he was more like a 2.7.
Really? I thought it was Missoula? A 3.7. I mean, the connection had a little bit to be desired, but he had a good attitude and a good question.
He had a good question. Okay, so that's the all right. So a good question is usually like a median is like a 3. You're right, but the window was down.
Yeah, bad audio.
Bad audio.
I did tell him to turn the window up. But hey, you know, you can't win them all, Rich.
No. I strive for a 5. When I see a 5 on there, I'm like, hell yeah, let's go. And Jackson never steers us the wrong way.
40% on Kaushi. Giannis's next team, Boston 40, Miami 41. It is tight. It is as tight as it's been in a month.
Wow.
Just so you guys know, and callers in general, Scottish Jimmy is the only one who's ever gotten a 5. So just keep that in mind.
He was definitely. I thought we've had another 5 before. I'm sure we've had a 5. You know what? Here's the thing. You can officially request when you call us what your ranking was.
Oh,
and I will let you know. It's almost like, you know, you can check your Uber rating. You can see, like, you know, whether they think you're an a-hole, you know, what they give you. If you want to, when you call in, we will tell you what your rating was.
Female Rush fans.
Radio caller of the year.
Yes, that's right.
5.0 Rush fans.
He was not quite a 5.
After each call, we should hold up like a number, like a dunk contest.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. And then we rate them afterwards. All right. I do want to get to some of this Craig Breslow stuff, because we are here at Fenway Park right now, and as I said, it almost feels like dangerous talking about how bad this team is, and they are obviously awful. And Sam Kennedy came on Greg Hill's show just the other day and was, I thought he was very, for the first time, he wasn't cocky. He wasn't on there trying to be like, you guys are idiots. You don't know what you're talking about. He came on and was like, dude, our team stinks. Yes, everything you're saying is true. There's nothing I can say right now that's going to make you feel good.
Embarrassing, unacceptable, yep. Two of the words he used.
And that's a start. To me, that's a start. Now, Stiz is a very pessimistic about what he was trying to do there. Stiz, you had a different opinion on Sam Kennedy and his appearance.
Yeah, I think you guys are absolutely falling for, you know, the typical Red Sox stuff again. Like, what's he going to do? Come on and kind of feed us the same stuff? No, he has to acknowledge reality. And so
he doesn't have to. He battled Greg the last time. To Rich's point, he did not do that.
I think he's placating you. I think and it worked. Look, Rich came on yesterday and said, "Oh, I think he's taking ownership." No, action. I want
to
see action.
That's his job. He's supposed to be a fireman. He's supposed to come on and put out the drama. And
yeah,
he did that.
And Stiz, to your point, and you're right, is that I believe what he did was part one. You got to finish the job. You have to make a change. You can't say, hey, we suck and there's no excuse and then just stop there. But that is the first thing you have to do, is acknowledge that you are awful and stop making people feel bad when they're using their own eyes and describing what they're seeing.
And
that
your
is
own
a,
players.
And their own
feel
players
bad.
Feel bad. Right. Yeah. Stop throwing your own players under the bus, which is another thing that he apologized for. He did apologize for misclassifying what Roman Anthony's injury was, the Garrett Crochet thing as well. So that part of it, at least they got that right. But there was a moment where he was asked about Craig Breslow and Craig Breslow's future, which, you know, once again, I don't think that there's anything redeeming about this season that Craig Breslow has done. So let's take a listen. Let's hear what his answer was.
Look, I fully understand and appreciate questions regarding Craig Breslow and his job security and all that. You know, but the issue of a change there, just to be clear, it's not even on the table. Craig, and he is working as hard as anybody in terms of getting things back on track. But again, words are hollow right now. And as bleak as things appear, I think it'd be ridiculous to say anything other than we're all feeling it. And, you know, we're working to get us back on that trajectory that we really thought we were on coming into the end of last year and getting to the postseason, and then having a stated goal of taking that next step in October. That was the goal, and here we are. It's I don't know, 66 games in. We've played 40% of the season, and you know, we're 12 games under 500 and last in the AL East. That's pretty much all we need to know. It's just not acceptable.
Okay, so since that statement was made by Sam Kennedy, that it sounds like they're not even considering getting rid of Craig Breslow, there's been a couple of things that have come out that seem to comment as far as whether or not they believe that to be accurate. And Christian, you said that Sean McAdam just tweeted something, correct?
Yes, McAdam, who I had on the show the other night and said something similar to this. And also, just real quick, you mentioned how the Breslow interview, or the Kennedy interview, he sounded a lot more sincere than usual. I agree, except for that question. That answer right there, where he's talking about Breslow, and now we're not going to do anything with Breslow. That was a little bit of the old Sam Kennedy that I think you were describing.
I agree.
I noticed in that answer.
A false vote of confidence, perhaps?
Yeah, I think that was very BS-y. Anyway, McAdam writes, it's doubtful that Breslow finds much solace in Kennedy, who was given these assurances. The anonymous industry source who first made the proclamation to the Globe could hardly have been expected to say otherwise. The minute anyone in Red Sox upper management or ownership hints that moving on from Breslow is under consideration is the day that Breslow's tenure with the club is effectively over. And then he writes, so Breslow remains on the job for now. If that's still the case in the final weekend of September, it will be a tremendous upset. It's nearly impossible to imagine Breslow remaining with the Sox past the end of the regular season.
Okay, so obviously that's an opinion of his, but he is also one of the more dialed in people to the Boston Red Sox.
I'd say, yeah.
Dan Shaughnessy wrote something interesting this morning talking about it as well. He said, I believe Breslow is safe because the Sox are only 2 months removed from April's seismic shakeup and don't want to appear as unstable as they obviously are. Ownership hitched its wagon to Breslow when Cora and company were fired, and now they have nowhere to run. Quote, they cannot fire Craig, one of the Cora 7 told me. Quote, because if they fire him, why did they fire us? Mm. That is a great, great question.
But I don't think it's true, though. They could absolutely fire him. That's what the people want. You know, right. If it's Barabbas out there in the courtyard, you know, that people are giving the thumbs down, you know, like they want Breslow, and you would curry some favor by, even if Theo doesn't really do it, just put him up there and tell him to say he's doing it for the rest of the year. And in the interim, he's going to work with some of the staff they have remaining, and they're going to do a GM search in the offseason.
Well, we're going to have Rob Bradford on later on in the show, and he's going to give us the latest of... It can't be a fun job if you're Rob Bradford being inside that clubhouse every day.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like historically bad.
It's just quiet. Nobody's talking, right?
And he's getting them to talk. At least they're doing the 2-minute grill and everything. That's nice.
Breaking news.
Sure, and he's breaking news left and right. There's not even a question.
And my man Mickey Gasper, top of the lineup today, so they're going to turn it right around with a new leadoff man.
Listen, I love that they got a guy that looks like their W. Mason guy. Looks just like him. All right, Scotland is here. The entire country is here, and they're hanging out Fenway Park in their kilts and everything. As I said, I was walking my dog this morning at Boston Common, and I saw a guy in a kilt at 9:30 in the morning. So they are here to party. World Cup, the Tartan Army, we have one of their representatives. We are not going anywhere. 2 minutes, we'll be right back.